I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to What It Takes, the podcast where we dive into the real stories behind business owners, what they've built, what they've overcome, and the lessons that they've learned along the way. Today's guest is Ryan Teichert, CEO of Redcom Design and Construction, a full-service commercial design build firm based in New Jersey. But Ryan's journey to that title didn't start with Redcom. It's been more than 25 years in the making. He has a degree in marketing from the University of Maryland and a career spanning residential, commercial, and industrial real estate. Ryan has overseen the development and sale of over 1,000 homes and led massive infrastructure projects for companies like I did not verify the pronunciations of these ones because they're well-known companies, but I know that I'm going to just destroy them. So I'll let him highlight that when he gets to that point. But he had some time at CBRE and Sodexo. Now I'm doing it to you.
You got me saying it wrong.
This is going to be such a great conversation. I can already tell. We're just going to pull the veil. Nothing's going to be polished here today. We're just going to get down to the nitty gritty. And let's just start with how he joined Redcom in 2023. We stepped into a leadership role within an already established company. So that can be tricky. He brought with him a bold vision for sustainability, innovation, and purpose-driven growth. He's also deeply connected to his local community. He volunteers on his town's planning board and environmental commission. And so in today's conversation, we are going to get raw and just pull back, you know, any kind of reservations. We're not going to let that get in the way. We'll talk about what it takes to lead a company steeped in tradition while ushering in a new era. And we'll also talk about sustainability and how it's becoming a non-negotiable in construction. I love that that's becoming a part of the conversation and what Ryan's learned about evolving without losing your roots. So let's get into it. We already have. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, it's great to be here. How are you?
So let's start with your story. How did your path lead you to Redcom and what drew you to the role of CEO?
Wow. So it's you covered most of it in your intro. So
even though I butchered the names, I try to get all that right. I'm so like detailed. And then I'm like, you know, I didn't verify any of these names, so I just don't even want to say them.
Yeah. So I'll try and fill in some of the blanks.
Perfect.
So starting from, I guess, the beginning, I grew up in a construction family. My father was a home builder. And any break that I had from high school or college, I was working out in the field in construction, learning the trades. I joke that my first job was the assistant to the laborer. I wasn't allowed to carry any tools. My only tool was a broom. So I had to walk around sweeping homes and helping the laborer. So I literally started from the bottom, cleaning, and made my way up through all the different trades. I worked with framers. I worked with masons. I worked on heavy equipment, doing site work. So I really learned a lot in my family business. Went to college studying business, and I thought that I wanted to go into marketing and advertising. And when I graduated, I started looking for jobs, and it just turned out that just really wasn't my passion. It wasn't the right place for me as I was going through my interviews. So I ended up landing a job with an architect, doing some project management work. My thought process was that I wanted to go out and work in the real world before I came to work for my family business, which I figured was inevitable. So I did that. I worked in Manhattan for a few years. I worked as project management in an architecture firm. I did some drafting. I learned AutoCAD there for a few years. And then I went on to work for a general contractor in Manhattan, doing a lot of corporate interiors work throughout the city. Had the opportunity to work in some iconic buildings like the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, World Trade Center. So that was really exciting, great learning experience. Then my father called me up and he said, "Hey, listen, the business is growing. We need you to come join your two brothers in the business." So I did that. I went kicking and screaming, leaving the city, went back to New Jersey, and worked with the family business for about 13 years. And we built single family homes, condos, townhouses, development work. It was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about construction. I learned a lot about sales and marketing in the real world, which was kind of coincidence because of my marketing degree. And really had a lot of fun working in that business. As my brothers and I grew, we got to the point where it was ready for us to split apart. And I decided to go back to my roots in commercial work in the city. And I started working for CBRE in the project management world. I love the big, as my father says it, the sexy projects in New York. And I had a real passion for that. So I went back to doing that work. And there I had another opportunity to work for large international corporate clients like Santander as a bank, and Citibank, Quest Diagnostics, Siemens, important companies that do important work. And I had the opportunity to support them from a real estate and construction perspective at CBRE, building all different types of projects, corporate interiors, laboratory work, life science work. Really great experience and a lot of fun. And I learned how to operate in the corporate environment as opposed to a family business. From there, I went to work for Sodexo in New Jersey on the Merck account, and did a lot more pharmaceutical work, large infrastructure work. Then I was introduced to Greg Reddington, who's the owner of Redcom. And I really had no intentions of leaving where I was. I was enjoying my job, but it was such an interesting opportunity that Greg had presented to me. He had been growing the business and got to the point where he needed a little bit more help in making it a sustainable business that could continue to grow on its own in the future. And that was the goal, to become more efficient and to build the organization and position it for future growth. So I saw that as an opportunity for me to take my family business experience and my corporate world experience and take the best of both worlds, the pieces that I love the most, because there's a lot of challenges and bureaucracy in the corporate world, and there's a lot of inefficiencies in the small business world, and to take some of the structure from the corporate world, but not too much to the point where it's inefficient and it's roadblocks, and to integrate the two into one place. That was a really exciting opportunity for me. And that's what I've been doing for the past few years.
That's really cool. That's actually what I was going to ask you, because Redcon already had a strong legacy when you joined. So I was interested to hear what your first thoughts were stepping into that. But I think that's you came from kind of the perfect background of, you know, like you said, kind of marrying the two. But how did you establish, knowing that you were going to come in with that experience and that approach, how did you then approach building trust with your team and clients while introducing like the changes that you had in mind?
Yeah, it's been hard. It's still hard. It's still ongoing. It's not something that you just come in and do overnight. The first thing that I did, my approach, you know, something that's really important to me in general in life and in business is respect. And my approach to coming to Redcom was to first listen to everybody, to see what they're doing, how they're doing it, understand what's working, and try to identify what's not working. And I'm not going to try and change something that's been working. You know, Greg built this business for, you know, since the 80s, and he's been doing a lot right. And we have to honor that tradition and embrace the change that's going to come so that we can move forward. But changing what's been working is not going to help anybody. So my first go at it was to just listen to people, learn their process, the Redcom process, because coming in here and changing the process from scratch is not going to help anything.
Yeah, and I like that a lot, because I think legacy can be really powerful, but also tricky. So to come in with that listen first mentality probably helped you to kind of navigate through some of those things. So I think that's actually a really good point. It's just being able to be strong in what you have learned and what you know you want to bring to the table, but also, like you said, listen first before you go in and make any changes. But so what are some of the challenges then, or opportunities, I guess, depending on how you look at it? You have sustainability is pretty much a major theme under your leadership. So how did you, like, what are some of the challenges or opportunities that you face when integrating those green principles into a traditionally, let's just say, structured industry? Is that a good PC way of putting it?
Yeah. That's, you know, the sustainability is something that we're still working on. You know, forget about the fact that it's, you know, it's good for the environment. You know, it's a good, you know, community practice. It's good for the world to build sustainable products. They're expensive. Yeah. it's kind of a challenge economically to build sustainably. So it's still a work in progress. It's something that's always in the back of our mind. That and safety. Safety is a big one, is a big thing that I brought here as well from coming from the pharmaceutical world. Safety is the number one focus, and sustainability and safety are oftentimes overlooked in our market. So I would say that even more important than sustainability, it's been safety that has been my major focus. And I hope that to be my legacy here is really efficiency and safety.
That's great. And I think that your experiences having worked across, like, you've done residential, commercial, big corporate spaces on kind of like, you know, the real estate side. So mm-hmm. How has that shaped your leadership style as well?
Yeah, it's helped me actually, because I've played both the GC side and the owner side, and I've been an owner's rep. So it helps me identify with our clients, having an understanding of what their motivations are. You know, as a builder, we have certain motivations as we're design build. So we have in-house architects and engineers and construction management personnel. So we look at things from a design perspective. We look at and ability, constructability perspective. Owners look at things from an investment perspective if they're investors, and if they're end users. You know, some things that are important to them are, let's get in the building. I need to be in there because every minute that I'm not in there, I'm losing revenue. Or as an investor, the longer I can't have a tenant in my building, the longer I'm just paying for a building with nobody in it. I'm not getting any income for it. So I have the experience to be able to look at things from that perspective also, and to be able to understand that. And that helps us service our clients a little bit better.
That's really cool. What advice do you think anybody looking to take over leadership at an established company could use based on your experience?
Again, it's listen. You know, you see, you know, the analogy with sports, when a new coach comes into a team, they come into this organization, they clean house of all the coaches that are there, they bring in their own team because those are the people, their own coaches, those are the people that they like to work with. Well, in a business, it's a little bit different. You can't just clean house and bring in all of your new leaders that you want to work with. So it's really important to evaluate the people that are there and make sure that the people that are on your team are in the right seats. And you may not have to eliminate people. They may just even have to be shifted around a little bit to utilize their strengths. A fresh set of eyes really helps you do something like that.
That's really good. And I think that kind of leads into our signature question that we usually ask everyone that kind of comes in. What It Takes is the name of the podcast. And I think you've really kind of learned what it takes along the way, right? Like, you've been on many different sides. I can't even imagine. We didn't even really go into the family aspect of, like, working with family. I think that's, you know, and many people who do go into business ownership work with family members and stuff too. So based on all of your experiences and kind of taking all of those perspectives, in your perspective, what does it take to be a business owner today?
Well, you said that I've learned what it takes. I challenge that and say that you're never done learning.
Oh, that's so good. I teed you up perfectly. That was so good. I love that.
Yeah. You know, it's, and that's part of it, you know, listening, like I said, listening when you come into an organization, but also having a little bit of humility to know that you haven't learned everything yet. You can learn from your peers. You can learn from your leaders. You can learn from the people on your staff. You know, I learn from my kids all the time and my wife. And, you know, there's, if you keep your ears open and listen to people, relate that to your prior experiences, you can really make some good decisions, make some positive change. And I think that's the key to success.
I think humility is something that we don't talk a whole lot about on this podcast. I think some people have alluded to it along the way, but I actually think it's a major trait that I think if you can go into business ownership and leadership with humility, and I mean, it's not something that you're just like, you can't just check that box off of a list, right? It's something that needs to really grow in you. And you, I think if you have that listen first mentality, that's the start of it, is recognizing that other people have something to say that maybe I can learn from. And if I allow them to, you know, make a difference in my day-to-day or my decision-making, then, you know, I've kind of earned the right to bring what I have to the table as well. That's really how relationships and trust are built. But there is that component of humility that I think you just saying right off the bat, you know, to go first with that, I think that's a really big takeaway, at least for me. So I don't know if you have anything else to add with that, but I can sense that it took a lot of having that first in all of your roles to be able to just adjust. You don't just work well with everyone that you come across in all different industries and all different practices for different things by just kind of bulldozing over everything. I think, you know, yeah. It sounds a lot like you led with that too.
Yeah. And a lot of people find or view humility as a weakness. But I think if it's combined with respect and authority, that it really could come through as a strength.
So there it is, folks. Humility, strength, authority. That's what it takes. I think now we could just close the book. Everybody can do this now, right?
I guess I have learned everything.
Right. There you go. So no, I think those are really good points. And if those are things that you can cultivate over the years and really live it out, then it'll definitely help to lead to your success in business. So Ryan, thank you so much. You're the CEO of Redcom. I think your work there and just in sharing your experiences and your journey along the way, it shows us that what it really takes to lead with both respect for the past and also a vision for the future. And so whether you're stepping into a leadership role, you're looking to innovate in a traditional industry, or maybe thinking about sustainability as a growth strategy, I think Ryan's story is a reminder that legacy is never finished and it's always in progress. So Ryan, where can people find you if they're looking for Redcom or you personally?
Yeah, so our website, redcomllc.com, you can find us there. We're on social, we're on LinkedIn, Instagram. Our handle is @redcomllc. And we're in Westfield, New Jersey. You're bound to see one of our signs on a highway somewhere and stop in and say hello.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Go check them out if you want to see the incredible work that they're doing in New Jersey. And if you've enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to subscribe and share the show. And we will see you next time on What It Takes.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.